Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's Old Testament text is one of the most difficult in our lectionary. Difficult because of its subject, and difficult to really make any sense of it. As we read it, I'm sure that many of us were just saying, why? God called Abraham to be the father of the nation Israel. He left his ancestral home at the call of God. He was promised a new land, that he would become a great nation, and that he would be a blessing to the nations. He was promised a son, and his wife Sarah laughed because they were old and she was past childbearing. But God is faithful to his promises, and Isaac was born. The future that God promised was assured. And then we come to today's text. The beginning of the text seems to give some sort of clue to us about what's going on. It says that God was testing Abraham. And what a test. Abraham didn't know anything other than the command that was given him. Isaac was the child of promise. Isaac was the proof of God's ability to bring into being that which God promises. It was through Isaac that the great nation that had been promised would come. And now God is commanding Abraham to take Isaac to the land of Moriah and to offer him as a burnt offering. We cringe when we hear these words. The idea of human sacrifice is repugnant to us. But Abraham lived in a time when many of the nations surrounding him did just that as an appeasement to their gods. But Abraham was not just mimicking something that was going on in the cultures around him. He was responding to a command from God. His relationship with God was such that he offered total obedience, even in the face of this most horrible command. We don't know anything of what he was thinking or feeling. We only know that he obeyed. It's strange when you think about it. When God said that he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham bargained with God. Could he spare the place for the sake of 50, and then 40, and then 30, and then 20, and finally 10 righteous men? If he would plead for the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, those sinful cities, why would he not plead for the life of his own son? But the text gives no indication of that. He got up the next morning and prepared for the journey. I am sure that his heart was heavy and his mind full of questions with every step he took. Was this going to mark the end of God's promise? But Abraham had faith. He had trust in God even in the middle of this horrible journey. And I must say, so did Isaac. Sunday school flyers often portray an aged Abraham with a relatively young child on his journey. But Jewish tradition suggests that Isaac was about 37 years old at this time. The text does tell us that Isaac was strong enough to carry the wood for the sacrifice, and that would have been a fairly large quantity of wood. The text also reveals that Isaac was no fool. He knew what was required for a sacrifice. They had the wood and they had the fire, but they had no lamb for the burnt offering. Where was it? Abraham said, God himself will provide the lamb for a burnt offering. He couldn't bear to share the command that he had gotten from God with his son. We are told that Abraham bound his son and laid him on the altar. The book of Hebrews tells us a little about what may have been going on through the mind of Abraham as he raised that knife. In Hebrews we read, by faith, Abraham, when put to the test, offered up Isaac. He who had received the promises was ready to offer up his only son, of whom he had been told, it is through Isaac that descendants shall be named for you. He considered the fact that God is able even to raise someone from the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. Abraham trusted God, even in the middle of this traumatizing event. And Isaac, who would have been old enough and strong enough to break free and save himself, trusted his father and trusted God enough to lay down his life. And then the reprieve. Abraham, Abraham, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And just as Abraham had spoken earlier, God did provide the animal for the sacrifice. We get to the end of the story, and I'm sure that we're all breathing a huge sigh of relief. But I suspect that we may also be feeling just a little uneasy and disturbed. Why? Why would God confront Abraham with such a test that seems so cruel and over the top? And I have no answer to that question that satisfies my soul. I find myself thinking, thank God that Abraham listened. What if he had been so intent on completing the sacrifice that he ignored the angel telling him to stop? I'm sure that at some point or another in my life, I might have been guilty of ignoring something that God was trying to get through to me. What if he had rationalized that voice as the voice of his own desire trying to tempt him away from the command? I find myself thinking, thank God that Abraham listened, that his relationship with God was such that he could hear a command to sacrifice his own son without flinching, but also that he never stopped trusting, never stopped believing, never stopped listening. And at the end, he was spared from doing something too horrible for words. In the lectionary, the reading ends with Abraham reflecting on God's provision, but I want to read a few verses on. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will indeed bless you, and I will make your offspring as numerous as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of their enemies, and by your offspring shall all the nations of the earth gain blessing for themselves, because you have obeyed my voice. Abraham's faithfulness is followed by a renewal of the covenant that God had originally made with him, a promise of God's blessing, a promise for numerous offspring, and again, the promise that nations of the earth would be blessed through him. And that, of course, is an allusion to the blessing that comes to all humanity through Jesus. When we read this text, we tend to focus on what seems a superhuman faithfulness in the life of Abraham. But we are also called to reflect on the faithfulness of God, who makes covenant with us and always keeps his promises for time and for eternity. But as I reflect on this text, I am left with some challenging questions for myself. What would I be willing to give up for God? Exactly how far does my love for God go? Our epistle text for today said, "Present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life." And Paul goes on to use the language of slavery to describe our obligation to a righteous life. We are told that our lives do not belong to us, but to God. In Romans, Paul also says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." We don't live in a time when we are called to make burnt offerings upon an altar of rocks, but we are called to offer ourselves, the whole of ourselves, to God. The faithfulness of Abraham leaves me wrestling with the question that I think from time to time we all wrestle with. In view of God's faithfulness and love, how far am I willing to live in faithfulness and obedience? That's a question for every day in the life of a Christian, and my prayer is that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we may daily grow into that life which God has intended for us. Amen.